be violating sources from new physics. And I'll tell you where and how to look for new physics for the study of CP violation. And then I'll talk about some of the deviations that have been coming, that have been reported for a few years now. And I don't have time to go into all the decays. And there was also recent measurement of B sub S mixing. And I'm not going to talk about that. But I'll concentrate on decays like pi k short and the so-called puzzle in the pi k. And then I'll have a brief implication for collider physics. So we know that the CP violation in the flavor changing interactions in the standard model come from the CKA matrix. And the CKA matrix has got a complex phase here, which is of order one. And it's hierarchical. So there is the Kibibo angle, which is 20%. And the CP violation was first observed in the Keon system, and it was small. And it's small not because the thing that is causing the CP violation, eta, is small. It's because it's suppressed by this small Kibibo angle. It goes as lambda to the power 4, and so it's of the order of 10 to the power minus 3. But the B is nice because if you look at the elements here at the corner, these elements are not suppressed, and these are exactly the elements that you are, can access in B decays. And they can have large phases. So here is the phase here, gamma, the phase beta. Gamma is about 60 degrees, beta is about 20 to 23 degrees. And usually, because this matrix is unitary, you can represent this as a unitary triangle. And the idea is, of course, to measure. In the standard model, this triangle has to close. And so, as I said, there are large phases which occur in this CKM element VTD and VUB. And you can access this VTD through BB bar mixing. Or you can access the phase in VUB through a decay like B going to pi pi. And the BB bar mixing is proportional to VTD squared, which is proportional to twice beta. And we have actually measured beta, and we know it's large. It's 43 degrees. And you can also measure gamma. Gamma is not as precisely measured as beta, but we know roughly the size of gamma is about 60 degrees. So as you see, CP violation in the B system is large. So the basic argument about new physics and large phases is that we now know the CP violation in the standard model is large. In all CP violation in the standard model is proportional to one parameter eta. And this is unitary. And what you can do is, because the weak interaction couple only to left-handed quarks, this matrix is actually parameterized for three angles and six phases. But you can absorb five of the phases. So you're left with one phase, and that's eta. But however, if you consider a new physics, consider the simplest example, for example left-right symmetric model, then you'll have a new mixing matrix, which corresponds to the right-handed currents. And so now, again, you'll have three angles and six phases. But once you have absorbed the phases from the CKM, you no longer have any freedom to absorb the new phases here. So you have six new phases. And since we know in the standard model that these phases are large, there's no reason to expect these new phases are small. So you should see these phases. So the summary is that CP violation in the standard model is large. Any new physics will have new phases. And since we don't have any reason to expect that these new phases are small, so we'll likely see deviations from the standard model. So the study of CP violation is a good place to look for new physics. Now, where do we want to look for these effects? Obviously, we want to look at very rare processes. And in standard model, the flavor-changing neutral current processes are rare. They occur in loops. And one of the processes which has got a lot of attention is this decay B going to phi k short. It goes through the standard model penguin, QCD penguin here. So you have a typical penguin and gluon. And there are a lot of new models of new physics which can contribute to this process at the tree level or at loops. So hence, these decays are excellent probes for physics beyond the standard model. Now, how do we look for them? We can look for, there are mainly three measurements of CP violations that you can do. And I'll talk about two. The simplest one is just a rate asymmetry. So you have a B decaying to a certain final state. This final state can be a loop process like phi k short. And then you look at the conjugate process, and you basically define a rate asymmetry, which is basically the difference of the rate for the process and the CP conjugate process. And it's proportional to phi, which is phi is the CP violating phase. Now, suppose we have a decay which is dominated by a single amplitude. Then you can write this amplitude as some A, which depends on some hadronic stuff that we don't know, and depends on this weak phase. And the charge conjugate process is just this. You just change the sign of the weak phase. And then you predict that the direct CP violation is zero because there is only one amplitude. And the most interesting thing about the standard model is that there are many decays in the standard model. An example, one example is this, which are dominated by a single amplitude. So if you go and measure a non-zero CP violation, you have found a smoking gun signal for new physics. And it has no hadronic uncertainty here. It just relies on the fact that this decay is dominated by a single amplitude. Of course, if you have more than one amplitude, for instance, this could be the standard model, and this could be the new physics, then you have a non-zero CP violation, but then it's complicated by hadronic stuff, for instance, the strong phase difference. But then, so then you have to be clever to get information out of this weak phase that you're interested in. And there are ways to do that. And we'll look at that later in the talk. The other one, the other very interesting ways of measuring CP violation is through what is called mixing-induced CP violation. And here we make use of the fact that B and B bar can mix. So what we are looking at is we are looking at a decay of B going to some final state F, and then we let the B mix to B bar, and then it can go to the final state F. So you have got two amplitudes, and these two amplitudes can interfere and give a CP violation signal, and it's called mixing-induced CP violation. And so what we are really interested here is in the time-independent or time-dependent decay of B0. And it contains of three parts here. The B is basically the branching ratio. Then you have the direct CP asymmetry that I just talked about. And then there is the mixing-induced CP the asymmetry, which comes from the BB bar mixing. And again, what we are really interested in are processes which are dominated by a single amplitude. And if that happens, then as I said, the direct CP violation will be zero, but the mixing-induced CP violation is not zero, and gives us important tests of the standard model. So one of the most famous or the gold-plated modes to study CP violation is this decay B0 going to J psi K short. It's dominated by a single amplitude here. So there is no direct asymmetry. And the mixing-induced CP asymmetry just measures twice beta, sine of twice beta, which you remember was just the phase of the BB bar mixing. And it has been measured very precisely. This is the value, and this agrees with independent measurement of these angles, for instance, from the side of the integrated triangle. And so this measurement seems to be quite in good agreement with the standard model. So now we go back again to our decay, B to phi k short, which is a loop-induced decay. And this also is dominated by a single amplitude. And so if you go and measure the mixing-induced CP asymmetry here, the standard model prediction is that it should be the same as sine 2 beta. It should be 0.685 plus this number. But experiments find a smaller number here. And of course, the errors are large, and errors have to be reduced because these decays are very rare. But not only this, there are many other final states, which also the standard model predictions for all these final states are that if you measure sine 2 beta in this decay, you should get this number. And if you combine the number for all of this, you get something which is smaller than this. In fact, this is a table. It's not updated. There are many decays here. And you have the measurement of sine 2 beta. And as you see, they all fall at different places here and all somewhat smaller than what is predicted by the standard model. The good thing about working with quarks is that quarks produce hadrons, and hadrons have different spins and different parity and JPC numbers. So by looking at the pattern of this deviation from the standard model, we can know about not only if there is new physics, but also if what is the kind of new physics that's affecting these decays. To give an example, take a very simple model of new physics, which is some kind of four-quark operators generated by some scalar exchange. Now, this kind of new physics will affect decays like eta prime k short, because the eta prime is a scalar, where the current here, S bar gamma phi b, makes a transition from b to k short, and the S bar s produces the eta prime. But this kind of new physics is not going to affect decay like phi k short, because phi is a vector. And so a scalar current cannot produce a vector. So by looking at deviation at different processes, you get idea about the Lorentz structure of new physics. You also have idea, you also know what is the flavor structure of new physics. Since the number for the experimental number phi k short, there have been many, many papers written about new physics effects. And I'm just condensing it in one slide into various classes. The one class of physics involves new QCD penguins. So basically, you have got a gluon. So you can have, for instance, left-right symmetric models with the extra WR. This is supersymmetry, which has got a lot of attention, where you get new QCD gluons through this quark mixing. And you can have tree-level diagrams where in extra-dimensional models, you can have flavor-changing currents involving a Kaluza-Klein gluon. You can have a flavor-changing Z if you have extra down-type quarks. Or you can have extra scalars or R-parity SUSY when you can have tree-level exchange of scalars. So there are different classes of models which can affect phi k short. But if there is new physics in phi k short, then it should show up in many decays. For instance, it can show up in phi k star. And I'm not going to talk about phi k star. There is a so-called polarization problem here. But it's going to affect decays, any decays which goes through the quark level transition B to SQ Q bar, where Q is up and down. The models that generate new QCD penguins, like B to S glue, which come from SUSY or left-right or extra-dimensional models, will affect also, so these models produce B to S glue, and the glue then splits into QQ bar. But since the gluon couples equally to up, down, and strange quark, so this kind of models will predict the same effect for decays like K pi, rho K star, or decays like phi K. But there are other models which are generated through electroweak terms like Z, which doesn't couple to the couples to the up and down differently. So you're going to have different effects in this decays and this decays. So again, a combined fit to all decays also points to the flavor structure of new physics. It tells you whether it's coming, if it's a new QCD type contribution, or it's a new electroweak type contribution. So I'm going to talk about the K pi puzzle. So we talked about phi K short. We saw that the measurements there is a deviation of the measurement from the standard model prediction. And then there was this another puzzle, which is called the K-pi puzzle. And I just want to concentrate on two numbers here. There are various puzzles here. And probably one of the biggest puzzles is the prediction of the direct asymmetry here for the decay B plus going to pi 0 K plus and pi minus K plus. What is the puzzle? In using the isospin limit, you predict that these two decays should be the same. So the prediction purely based on isospin is the CP asymmetry should be the same here. Now, the errors are large, but remember the sign. This is negative, and this is not negative. So there is a difference of here about 3 point some sigma. The other puzzle here is the measure of the CP-induced mixing. And of course, this should be the same as 0.685, which is measured in JSI K short, but it's much smaller here. But the errors have to be reduced. There are also other puzzles about the branching ratios here. So the point is, let me just concentrate on this. Isospin, purely isospin, predicts that this should be the same. So if you have any new physics which is going through B to S glue, and because the QCD preserves isospin, any new physics which is isospin conserving will not be able to solve this puzzle. So the fact that this new physics is isospin violating, this points to new physics which is of the electroweak type, so through an exchange of a Z or through an exchange of a scalar. I'll skip this. And so what are the implications for Scolyta? So suppose we believe that we are seeing new physics in this decays, then at what scale is this new physics occurring? In the standard model, you can always write down higher dimensional operators here, and you want to know what is the scale of new physics. It turns out that if new physics is of the same size as the standard model contribution to the K art or the B mixing, then you get a constraint which is 100 TeV, which is really, 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 really constraining. And the reason why you get such a high value for lambda is that this, the B and K mixing in the standard model are small, not because they are loop suppressed, but they're also suppressed by this small CKM angle here. So it, for instance, the B mixing goes as the loop multiplied by lambda cube, which is the cube angle. But we expect to understand the Higgs hierarchy by having some new physics around the TeV scale. And so it's a problem here. So one of the solutions is that the coefficient of this operator must have the same suppression as in the standard model if the new physics is at the TeV scale. So that puts a very strong constraint on the Faber structure of new physics that you're going to see. Or it can be that at the coefficient of this operator, new physics operators are of order one, in which case the Faber physics is probing physics at scale, which is way beyond the reach of the upcoming colliders. So how much time do I have? 1 minute. I'll just conclude. So I said CP, I showed the CP violation is a good place to look for new, for and measure new physics. There are many new physics, signals of new physics are kind of puzzles. In measurement of loop processes like phi k short, eta prime, k prime, and also piece of S mixing. And a combined fit of new physics signal points to a very specific structure of new physics. It's probably coming from electrovic type physics. So it points towards extension of the electrovic sector with X or Z or Higgs's. And hopefully we'll find them in the B factories or in LHC. And we know that the flavor physics and collider physics are very complementary. So the upcoming years, the coming years will be interesting for both. Thank you.